acres, so.
Item number four is a subdivision rezoning for 311 Grassy Boulevard.
Under file DASZ 24 of 2011, and in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item number five is a variance at 311 Grassy Boulevard under file DAV 141304 of 2011D.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have the applicant, Alma Nagel. Hi. Hi, come on forward. And I know you were calling me, but I can't speak to you outside the gate, so it's a bit awkward. But anyway,
that's okay. But
we'll talk here. So 389 McLeod. We laid this matter over last meeting, right?
Yeah.
And with the hope that we can find some resolution. We have Mr. Rayban is here. Jeff Pratt, Kim Rayban, and Roy Hartman. Welcome, Roy. So, Mike, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
He was a minute ago. Yeah, okay. No problem. All right. So, what have we been able to come up with here, I guess, in terms of this matter? Is there anybody in opposition?
Nobody registered, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there anybody here registered in opposition on this item? No? Seeing none? All right. What solution in terms of this situation?
Well, we've looked at it within the department, and we also met with the applicant yesterday, I believe. We've looked at it in the department, and we see no practical solution that allows the applicant to do what she wants to do, exactly as she wants to do it, and yet protects our ability to have a proper turnaround at the west end of Jacques. And that's the simple short story on this. The plan that was included with the ACG report as Appendix A at the last meeting shows the cul-de-sac turnaround in a location. There is some flexibility. It could be moved further west, a short distance without affecting its function or anything. But I should point out that the further west you push it, the more roadway that has to be constructed, and the more expensive it gets for the not only this applicant, but the owner of the property to the west when they come forward and apply. So, there is a little bit of flexibility, but there is no one solution that allows the applicant to do the application as she desires at this time.
So what flexibility are you referring to? You said there's a little bit of flexibility.
Well, to on this plan, Appendix A, you can move this bulb a little bit further west.
I see.
But not, out of the way so it doesn't affect her at all. But as you move it further west, you have to construct more pavement.
Right.
And it ultimately becomes more expensive for both her and the property owner to the west.
I see.
It's always been our department's position that this area needs to be developed with the two property owners working together to construct the bulb, provide the property for the bulb, and then rather than do the typical four-lot rectangular lot subdivision that people further west have done, to do four lots radiating off the bulb.
Yeah, okay. Did you hear what he was saying? Okay. Did you, Alma, you've obviously talked with the department, so.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm just a local resident. I'm not a big developer.
No, I understand.
I can't even afford to do that. I can't even start thinking about putting something like that in and donating my property for that. I have to back out. I purchased the property previously. Before I purchased it, I contacted everybody that I was told to contact to find out if there would be a problem with subdivision the way I wanted to have it done, and nobody opposed to it. I bought the property under the thought that I was going to be able to subdivide it in that way. I'm not sure why he was not recommended to me at the time. I think I should have been speaking to him, but nobody did recommend for me to go and speak to him. So I can't afford to do this. I'm not going to put myself into debt that deep. I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I basically will probably sell the property, and it'll be back on the table again. I don't know how many times it's been. I know it's been a few times. With also the owner at the end there, Mr. Miles, that owns the next property to me. He's tried to subdivide a couple of times and has tried to do something with his property, and he can't either. So I don't know. I think it's a poor design in the first place for it to have passed, that this is the end results when it's been subdivided and two different owners are to the property, and now we're supposed to join together. It doesn't make sense to me, but this is the first time I've ever done any kind of subdivision. I've built homes, but I haven't done this. I've always had a property that I didn't have any problems with.
Right, right. Hmm. Well, this is the predicament, right? I mean, the when the development in this area occurred years ago, Kildonan Estates, the road was, purposely designed in this way so that it would allow for the subdivision of the back properties. The option of doing that was kept open by not completing Jack at the far western end. The problem is, of course, is that as you're finding is the city has a certain requirement in terms of the fire protection, but also, garbage pickup and the ability for trucks to move in and out. Do we, in terms of any other suggestions, have there been other scenarios like this around the city that has been, we've run into this from experience?
I can't think of any exactly like this. There's some that are sort of similar, but nothing exactly like this.
Yeah. Now,
it is a bit unique in that, that it was, the Jacques Avenue was had been established a long time ago, and before the rest of Kildonan Estates was developed,
right,
as a right of way, and so we're living with the fallout from that, so to speak, now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There is nowhere for Jacques to go further west.
Yeah, and we don't want to connect it to Cordite, because that would be a complete change.
Yeah, because
right.
the long-term plan is to cut that off from Grassy.
Right.
When Chief Peguis goes west, east of Lajmodie.
Right.
And eliminate that intersection of Ham, Cordite on Grassy that's so close to Lajmodie.
Right. One of the suggestions was that was made at the last meeting by Elma was, doing that maybe earlier and doing the cul-de-sac, towards at the end there and into the right-of-way of Cordite, right?
Yeah, as I said earlier, the further west you push this thing, the more expensive it gets because
right.
you're building more pavement. But the problem with cutting off Cordite at this time is you've got, I believe it's about four or five businesses on Cordite further north.
Right.
And this is the main way in for them. If you close this off, their only means of access via a long dead, would be a long dead end, would be off of Plessy.
Right.
And these businesses operate a lot of trucks, big trucks, and you would be forcing that truck traffic to come out onto Plessy.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly where it would go once it got onto Plessy, I wouldn't want to speculate. But,
mm-hmm.
But it would also leave those businesses with a long dead end.
So in terms of the long run, and when Cordite is cut off there, Roy, what is going to be done? Would it be a right-on, right-off type of thing? A service road would be built kind of thing?
The plan when Chief Peg, it's not approved, obviously,
no,
at this
I know,
point
but
in time,
but
our plan has Cordite turning north and paralleling Lajmodie to tie into the existing service road at Springfield that goes north from Springfield.
Oh, I see. Okay.
When Chief Peguis comes across.
So we would end up keeping the Springfield intersection there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Your hope was to subdivide into two lots, right? Is that correct?
Two in the back from off of Jock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jock, yeah.
Yeah.
And because the street was there, well, wasn't developed, but that's why I went to the city and I asked before I purchased the property, and nobody opposed to it, even when I put my application in.
Mm-hmm.
John Winthrop, he made some calls, and Lynn Payette, she's the one that helped me out with that, and they made some calls, and nobody opposed, and I did myself too. It's Waterworks.
What's this width of your lot?
It's 105 feet.
Wide?
Total, it's 52, supposed to be 52.25.
What's the width of the lot?
The width is 105 feet.
105 feet.
Yeah, it's proposed that there'll be two 52.25 foot wide lots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you, in terms of, you've heard what Mr. Hartman said in terms of the cost involved with of this, and if we were to push the, I guess where the thinking is, we were to push the cul-de-sac further west, and there'd be a higher cost to you. Being aware of that, do you have any thoughts on that, or?
I will have to back out of that because I can't do that, and I don't want to.
Right.
Period. Like, I don't want to put the cost in. I don't know if the city would help out with that and split it between the Mr. Miles at the end of the property and myself, just to accommodate. You will have good building lots. I will have good building lots, so will my neighbor. Should be good homes on there. You'll gain through your property taxes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any obligation in the previous development in the area in terms of costs here?
The previous development has actually paid based on 1993 local improvement rates.
Can you speak up? I can't even hear you, Kim.
The Kildonan Meadows development did pay...
Kildonan Estates, right.
I'm sorry. Did pay for a share of the cost of a future pavement in this part of Jock already. So there's a nominal amount. It was collected in $1993.
So they paid their 50%.
Yes.
So 50% of the road extension and the turnaround, based on those dollars.
Based on $1993, though. So there's a nominal amount of money. There may be, $15,000 to $20,000 something available as a contribution toward.
Right.
This.
Right. So we would have to find out how much money that is. So there are monies there towards it. Have you thought of maybe a slightly higher density? I know we'd have to re-advertise it. What's advertised for? What's the size density?
R1M.
R1M. So how small of a lot can you do on R1M?
25-foot wide lots.
Okay. So
we heard that from the previous meeting. I wouldn't want to go there even. Like, that's
no, but you have right now under R1M.
Yeah.
Okay. Would it have to be re-advertised, or was that the advertised?
No, I don't believe it would be. It would have to be re-advertised.
You don't know, or. You're 100%.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so is not an answer. Do we know, or?
R1M where? I mean, the lots fronting onto Jacques Avenue were, I believe, advertised as R1M, and the ones fronting Grassy were advertised as R1L.
Okay. But in the ad, the cutout ad, was there was no designation of lot size or anything like that? It was just R1M, right?
It shows the amount of lots.
It does show that
it
in
shows
the ad?
Splits, yes.
But if it's rezoned R1M,
I know,
you could come back later and proceed with a short-form subdivision to split it into additional lots. That would comply with the zoning bylaw.
Okay. So what he's saying is that you don't have to go through a public hearing again. If we approved R1M, you could come back and you can do with the staff,
okay,
a subdivide it to the smaller lots. You can go down to three lots. You can actually potentially go down to four lots, actually, on your, if you wanted to.
Actually, I should note, though, already these lots require a variance according to the special boundary conditions of the zoning bylaw.
All right.
So that would, again, be required of a variance.
So a public hearing would be required?
Yes.
All right. Well, so a hearing would be required, re-advertise a hearing to do this. Okay. Do you see where I'm going with this? I'm trying to help you here in terms of the cost. Well, I'm trying to help you here in terms of the cost, because if you have three lots instead of two, and you're selling these, I'm assuming, right? Your plan would be to...
My original plan was I wanted to live behind the existing house.
I see.
Divide it all up and possibly build on all three, but eventually live behind the old house.
I see, okay.
That was my favorite lot there, but it's been chopped up. So
right.
My dreams are just shattered. I don't even know what I'm going to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
It probably will resell.
Yeah.
But I would like to have at least the front two lots separated, if I could, from the rear, and that way I can get rid of some debt.
From
the house.
So subdivide the grassy properties.
Yeah, the grassy ones.
Yeah.
I realize that I have to push it more in. It's the minimum requirements is 25 feet, I think, behind the house. Of backyard. So does that end up with approximately 124 foot deep lots? Most of it is frontage and pretty well useless. It's the backyard that you actually want, but if that is what I can do, then that's what I would like to do. And then I want to sell off the front. For now. And probably if I find a buyer for the back, and have somebody else deal with it.
You had a question in terms of the backyard?
Yeah, like what?
Yeah, sorry, the rear yard requirement is 25.
25 feet, so what would that make? About 124 foot deep lots on the longest pie shape? That street access.
So you're talking about pushing that proposed east-west property line further towards
the... I kind of made
house.
A little bit of a drawing.
Okay. Right. Is that acceptable?
Or am I going to come back again and then things are going to change again?
Yeah, no, that would comply.
Because I would not have bought this property if people would have been honest with me in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is becoming a pretty big headache. And I can understand his point of view with the cul-de-sac. I'll try and work with it, but I can't afford to do that. If I get no funding from anywhere else, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a big developer.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other options?
I don't see any. We've looked at it. I'm not the only one who's looked at it.
Right. What about LI? A local improvement.
These are the only... this is the only affected property. The one across on the north side of Jacques is a flankage.
Right.
And there's already a contribution from that side. So there's
a lot to the west, no?
Like 307 wants to do the same as I.
Right, yeah.
You
right.
Know,
you're talking to that property owner?
Yeah. He lives in Vancouver. I'm in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to work together on this, but it's...
I think that... Frankly, it's better constructed as a private roadway, you know, directly contract could be built than by local improvement. It would actually cost more by local improvement.
Repeat what you just... I don't understand what you're saying. A private roadway?
No, not a private road. I meant that the applicant enter into an agreement and contract to build it and turn it over to the city as compared to the city doing it as a local improvement.
City rates aren't market rates?
Yeah, the city ends up paying more for the...
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, yeah. You just gave me another idea. But anyway, what I'm talking about is a local improvement. Are you familiar with that, a local improvement levy?
No.
A local improvement levy is whereby, because the city, the north side of the property would be silent, correct?
Yes.
In that vote. So what you would do is you and your property owner would figure out, okay, this is the cost to put this road in, and the cul-de-sac, you know, minus the fact that it's, you would be paying for half of that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not in dollars, because of 2011 cost to constructing the roadway. You know, if this roadway costs, I don't know what, don't quote me, but say it costs $100,000 now.
Make it $175. That's just the concrete.
Okay, well, $175,000.
To build the whole thing?
To build a cul-de-sac, yeah.
Just the cul-de-sac.
That's not including any kind of water, sewage, mm-hmm. drainage, nothing.
Right. That's to build it right through to, with your solution to go into the other road? Is that the idea?
No, that was the cul-de-sac.
The cul-de-sac on, okay, so that's just the cul-de-sac as we see in their drawing here.
Yeah.
Appendix A, okay.
So we've only collected $15,000 to $20,000 in 1993, that's all we have. That's
right.
What we have.
Right. Yeah. But if the LI was advertised, it would be, we would, the city, who, they would pay their half, right?
No, they would pay, what happens with surface local improvements are the, in a situation like this, I think the actual cost of the pavement would be the LI rate.
Not the per footage. Is it based on how many straight up on?
Well, yeah, but for surface works, you take
the 2011 rate is X number of dollars, no matter how long or short it is.
What happens with surface, the surface rates are based on the cost of the previous year's construction.
Right.
So we would have to.
If this happens to be a nasty piece of work to do in a certain distance, the owner benefits by going LI as opposed to doing it themselves.
Yeah, if we have other LI projects of a similar nature in the previous year. If we don't, then we base it on the cost of the
But they would be responsible, I guess what I'm trying to get is, they would be responsible for their frontage feet for half the road in the LI. The other half would be the city.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Minus the 20 or 15,000 that we received from the previous development, right?
Yes. My apologies, yes.
Right, okay. So you could do an LI, a local improvement. You could vote on it. You and your neighbor would vote on it. The city would have be silent. The city would be paying for half of the cost, and you and your neighbor would pay for the other half, being the southern property owners.
Okay.
Less 15,000.
Less the 50. Well, no, that would be deducted from the city's side because the city's paying the northern, right?
Yeah.
So you would have 50%. The city would have 50% minus the city would receive the benefit of those who paid on previously,
okay.
Right? Do you follow me?
Yep.
So
in other words, 50% between me and Mr. Miles.
Right.
That owns the property.
At LI rates, not the rate that you can get at.
At the city of Winnipeg, LI rates, local improvement rates, the city sets a rate. It's very safe compared to. There's a city staff you can talk to, and he can give you numbers in terms of that. And
this is kind of all going over my head.
It's a way of providing services. Local improvements, if you look at streets throughout the city, streets are either paid for two ways. They're either paid for by a developer coming in and putting it in mm-hmm. and paying for it at the time of development, or is paid for by people on the street who live there, who want the services, who get together, and they sign a local improvement. The city will go and borrow the money mm-hmm. on your behalf, okay, even do the work. But then you can pay it up front, or it's amortized usually over 15 or 20 years, depending on the type of work, with interest, acceptable interest rate. So those are the two ways that roads are built. So you either pay for it in the price of your home. When you're buying a new home, the developer's paid for it that way, or you're doing it yourself, paying for sidewalk, street, sewer, water, lighting, everything. Okay? So that's a one option that you can look at.
Okay?
Another option.
$290.
I want to get their attention before I tell the other options. I don't have to repeat myself. Just wait a second. Roy and Kim, I just want to, the other option I was going to just run here with is, and I don't think I'm wrong, but you could make yourself a condominium, yourself, you and your neighbor, okay, we could cede the land, they could develop right from end of street here in as a condominium. We could subdivide, and they would then build based on their own standards. They would have to build a cul-de-sac and everything else, but then you would have a condominium scenario, correct?
We do have two major services in the...
Yeah, you would have to ensure that that would have to be easements provided for the services.
It would basically be a full-width right-of-way easement.
Okay, but then you would have on your own road, you would have your own road in a sense. Okay, but then you could turn around and we'd have to sell you the right of way minus the easement, right? That's another option. He's gritting his teeth. And we could, you would have to, you could then put an asphalt roadway instead of a concrete roadway, okay, because it's not your road.
No.
You would then be responsible for snow clearing, though. You would be responsible for your own garbage pickup, typically, unless we provide it through an agreement with you as a condominium.
I think that's when I would run into problems with the neighbors.
Okay. It would be you and your neighbor who would have to agree to set up this condominium make it work.
Everybody in the area?
Well, it would be a single, you could do it as a bare land condominium corporation. So bare land meaning it would be single family homes, right? You don't have to, a lot of people think condominium, think apartment block, right?
Okay.
I'm not talking that.
No, no.
I'm talking, this is a condominium, bare land condominium.
Senior complex.
No. I'm saying single family homes. Okay. It would be a bare land, you'd have, look like a street, except nobody would know it's a condominium other than you and your neighbor. Okay? And you would have a subdivision based on a condominium, bare land condominium at the end of the street. That's another way of doing it.
We're not married.
Pardon me?
We're not married to each other.
No, but it'd be a contract, right? You'd be entering, setting up a condominium corporation. You'd have a board and so on and so forth. So
he won't do that because he's retired. He wants to kind of just dump this.
Okay.
And he wants to.
Well, then your best bet really is probably the LI route. You know.
Okay. Who do I contact for that?
Who is it now? George Halatka? Halatka? Halatka?
George?
George, yeah.
You can get in touch with me tomorrow and I'll give you his contact.
Okay. Good.
He would calculate for you the costs and give you information on the process.
Okay.
My suggestion then is we've laid this over once. My suggestion is that we should, rather than you reapplying again, lay it over again, get the information, see if that's an option. And then it is, we can, that would be a scenario. The city doesn't like it very much because the city has to pay 50%. And the city isn't able to vote, okay? But it's a way of getting this land onto the tax rolls and developed as, and subdivided and developed, right? Because otherwise we're left with the predicament. You would still be left with a scenario because of what you heard in terms of the location, plus or minus where you want to put that cul-de-sac, right, one way or the other. But you wouldn't be able to go out onto what we talked about at the last meeting, into the Cordite right away, because that would affect the ability there of servicing the businesses on Cordite. But then you would be able to get an idea of what you'd be looking at cost-wise. So, but your neighbor would have to agree to that, right? Because if he doesn't agree to it, it ain't going to happen. So.
Well, I know. I'm kind of talking to him. I think Mr. Hartman is right. To have the cul-de-sac closer to Jacques is better. It's cheaper. Less roadway to build. Don't know what are you guys going to do at the end there? Can't build on it. I think Mr.
What would be the thoughts
that.
In terms of the Would we sell some land potentially?
Is that going to be a hangout for teenagers?
It would just stay as right of way because there's a sewer, a major sewer line and a major water line in there. One on the north side of the right of way, one on the south side of the right of way.
Yeah.
So,
but we'd want to clean that up, right?
We would want to extend the sidewalk that's on the south side of Jacques, west of this property, around the cul-de-sac bulb and then out to Cordite so that we can connect the sidewalk back to Grassy.
Well,
eventually.
Or we could have the sidewalk go into the bulb and then, I mean, there's nobody going to be in the bulb other than these homeowners, right? I mean, and start up at the other side rather than have the sidewalk go around the bulb. And
does it need a sidewalk around the cul-de-sac?
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's a sidewalk now on the south side of Jacques, so we'd have to look at that, right? The idea is sidewalk would come into the bulb, mm-hmm. and person walking, right, would cross the bulb, right?
Yeah.
And then catch it again on the other side.
Do the winter thing.
That's an option.
But so the cost would include that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And cleaning up the, not just building the bulb, but cleaning up that little dead end area so it's landscaped and everything else is sidewalk, right?
There might be a need for a street light in there too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, in the bulb.
In the bulb. So you might have a street light cost. Yeah. But George would look at that, I'm assuming, right? He would take that into consideration, or would you have to? He
would probably talk to Gerald Alcock in our office,
okay.
who looks after street lighting, who would advise him on the need for a street light.
Yeah, okay. Both Public Works would be consulted. George would consult Public Works on.
Okay. And just to be clear then, based on that and keeping the cost down with the bulb, where the bulb is shown right here, then, Ms. Nagel could subdivide her property in the back? There would be no issue with subdivision. It would just mean, she'd have you'd have to compromise in terms of the front yard or the backyard, right? Because mm-hmm. of the size of the bulb.
Yeah, we have to go through this process again, of course.
Yeah. Why?
We'll require a subdivision, of course.
Well, we're subdividing it here.
To do the bulb. But the lot configuration under the bulb proposed in what schedule over here, to do the lot configurations under this cul-de-sac would require the creation of sort of four pie-shaped lots using this property.
Yeah, well, why would we need another public hearing for that, though? We wouldn't need it. Is that what you said? No, but if her land is being subdivided in the back from one property to two, right?
That's true, yeah, then it probably wouldn't.
The line would go differently, that's all, right?
Yeah, well, do you have a drawing, Mr. Hartman? Yeah?
Jim's got something.
Kind of sketching
With the councillor, with the cul-de-sac in its current location, you need the two property owners to work together because the property lines would radiate from the bulb. And so there would be the proposed property lines would cross ownership boundaries.
Right.
It wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't be.
No, you'd have to have an agreement with your neighbor.
You'd have to work together with your neighbor. The only way to do it in the rectangular lot configuration that she's asked for would be to push that cul-de-sac quite a bit further west so that the property owner to the west has an opportunity as well. With it in this location, in the location we've shown here, which minimizes roadway costs, you have to radiate the lots out from the bulb. And that, like I say, that requires proposed lot lines to cross ownership boundaries. So they'd have to work together.
And he gets the bigger lots and I get the shallow minor.
Well, you can work with a land surveyor to get those lot lines, fairly placed.
That's less than 100 feet.
Right.
And what kind of house can we build on?
Now, when it comes to the LI, though, the LI would take that into consideration in terms of what you're paying for in terms of frontage fee. If your frontage, like your lot, you follow me? If the lots are narrower on her side and larger on his, he'd be paying more and her less.
Yes. Now, because they're not purely rectangular, I'd be reluctant to comment on who would pay what because there's a special calculation, But
right.
Generally, if the lot is narrower, we'll pay less.
I kind of had an idea of just throwing everything together. We subdivide the same frontage as,
will be property required for the bulb, just so you know. You know, it doesn't, the bulb does not fit into the existing right-of-way.
Right. Yeah, according to what I see here.
And you asked what kind of houses you can build on a 100-foot lot? In Waverly West, they're building houses on 90-foot lots. And they're $500,000 homes.
19 foot, you said?
90.
Oh, 90 foot, okay.
90 feet deep.
I had different plans for this.
So I guess what's being said is that it can be done, okay? It can be done through this LI. It can be, you're right. I mean, in terms of how many lots would be, it would still be able to generate four lots, potentially?
Four for each property owner, yeah.
No. Two for each property owner.
Yes. Oh.
Well, on Jacques.
On Jacques.
Two on Grassi.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm just talking to the Jacques side now, sorry. So four on, you would still be able to generate four on the jock, okay? Mm-hmm. But you'd have to, like you say, work with your neighbor in terms of making an arrangement, right, that you would become partners, in a sense, in this development to do that.
I don't know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I work alone.
Right. And including the local improvement, right? If the local improvement, if he votes against the local improvement, it's not going to happen. It would need both your support, right, for it to happen.
You build a more expensive bulb that wouldn't be on your properties at all, and it would only come onto your neighbor's property, and the bulb would be further out. You build four more. You build four rectangular lots. If the turnaround was to be more pushed towards the.
If we pushed it the right of way to the neighbor, but then of course.
Or even further into the public right of way.
Right, but then we would have to collect. They would have. It would be higher. Right. It would be, your cost would go up, right?
Yeah.
So that could be done too, you're right.
Unless the city wants to take the rest after our property lines.
Well, the city would. You would have to work. There would have to be some sort of arrangement where the city would come in and a bulb would be done. The road could potentially still keep open because cordite there is quite wide. I mean, a bulb could be. I'm not an engineer. You are, but all councillors are engineers. So, anyways, the bulb could be built. Still built, and cordite still stay open. I think, right? It was just it would be separate from the road, right?
And it would have to be.
Yeah, and so that could be done too, as was said by Mr. Hartman. Your cost would just simply go up because you got more road to build, right? Yeah. Now you might want to ask when you're talking. To George, you might want to ask him to look at that option so you can kind of compare the two options, right?
Okay.
And to see what's more reasonable or what's more practical. Because then you wouldn't have to move your lot line and come up with this other scenario. So it might cost you more, but it might be simpler, right?
Simplest thing is sell it.
I don't know what the numbers would be in terms of LIs.
It's worth going down that avenue. Yeah. Yeah. So my suggestion to you would be to lay this over if you want to do that, and we'll deal with it again next month. But in the meantime, that would give you the time to look at those numbers and see if it's practical for you, and Mike would work with you on that. So see if it's you can go down that road or not.
Okay.
You know.
But the cost was about 175 just for the cul-de-sac without any, just the cement.
Right. So divide that by half, right?
Yeah.
And then that's what you'd be looking at with your neighbor. If the other option is Councilor Broaddrick saying if you extend it, right, whatever that is, divide by half, right? So unless you look at the condominium version. So anyway, I'm too excited.
I know my neighbor.
Okay. Okay.
He just wants to.
So we should lay it over then for now? Yeah, so you agree to that, laying it over to?
Yeah.
Okay.
One month and I'll.
We'll work with you.
Okay. I want to work with you guys, too. I mean, don't get me wrong, and Mr. Hartman, too. I mean, I was very disappointed. I mean, I got thrown with this cul-de-sac like a couple of days before my first meeting on the 20th, and up until that point, I was still told a dead-end road.
Yeah, no, you know? I know.
And I was bombarded with that, and I'm still I'm still trying to get over it and sleep at night.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move out layover then.
All right. Layover has been moved till November 15th. Okay. It's Transcona Legion. So we're back at the other place.
Okay.
Okay.
And not downstairs.
Yeah. Upstairs. Councillor Broaddrick moves that. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay. Councillor Steen moves adjournment of the public hearing. All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Aye.
Thank you.